Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Well, good morning, folks. It's good to be back. We were gone for a couple of days. We got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about economic changes with the new administration. A lot of things happening very quickly with the Trump administration. A lot of changes. A lot of good information coming out that makes you wonder what has been going on. The Federal Reserve is on hold for now. New fraud targeting apps and the recipients of same. Beneficial ownership requirements are paused. We'll talk about that. And DeepSeek with the AI and the maybe a war with China on AI. Who's going to get there first as to having the most productive artificial intelligence tools out there. Todd Bensman joins us at 11:30. He's a senior national security fellow, Center for Immigration Studies. We'll talk about the situation with Colombia, on again, off again, why things are moving very quickly there as well. We have our NOLA Coalition segment with Cornelius Bankston, manager, partner, tech plug. On January 31st and February 1st, they're hosting a big event called the Rue Experience, and we'll talk about that. Had an opportunity to get out to Vegas, and if you've not been to the Sphere, you need to put that on your bucket list. I had a nice little stay out there for my birthday, I guess, and we got to see the Eagles out at the Sphere. One of the most incredible venues I've ever been to, and it's hard to imagine going to another concert and not having the benefit of everything that that place has to offer. And it's really hard to describe. I mean, I could go on and on and on and probably really wouldn't do it any justice other than to say one little tidbit. I think there are 164,000 speakers inside of the Sphere. And the dynamic range of relative to your seat is exactly the same in every seat. It's absolutely incredible. And as I said, it's really hard to describe. So if you have a bucket list band that you want to see, well, save that for the Sphere. And keep looking at their what they have on their lineup. It is it was an incredible experience. Had a fun time though out in Vegas. The Eagles were phenomenal. Vince Gill, Joe Walsh, Glenn Frey's son played. It was Don Henley. It was really, really good. And then the night before, got a chance to see John Fogerty as well at another venue. And he was great as well. So really, it was a nice weekend. Had a great time. But it is good to be back home. So much going on. I mean, I was just trying to consume as much of this news of being out there as possible, and so many things to talk about. But there was one thing that kind of struck me as Donald Trump was talking about on Friday. He said that he was thinking about shutting down FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And on Sunday night, he issued orders for a commission to investigate the disaster response agency that we, you know, a lot of folks have had to deal with. And he was going to be signing an executive order to begin the process of reforming, overhauling, or maybe even getting rid of FEMA. And he basically said he don't think it's any good. Said he thinks it's antiquated. He sees it as a very big disappointment. He sees that it costs a tremendous amount of money to operate. It's very bureaucratic and it's very slow. I can't say that I really disagree with him. I've had to deal with FEMA in my former role, not only as sheriff, but as a chief financial officer more so ever than as sheriff, because it's always the financial folks that are dealing with these organizations and in the aftermath of the organizations and trying to do and fill out the paperwork, get the reimbursements, this, that, and otherwise, an incredibly slow process. But, and I would say this, a lot of people don't really understand what FEMA is. FEMA's not really a full-time organization. It's a hybrid. They have a full-time administrative staff that then goes from X to X plus in the event of a disaster. And a lot of the folks that ultimately end up working for FEMA, especially in response, in urban search and rescue, and if FEMA's out there with the firefighters and everything else, are actually, for the most part, federal and state employees on assignment. They'll take leave from their regular job to go get paid by FEMA. They'll make more money getting paid by FEMA. And what you'll also find is a lot of the management folks in the forestry division and the Corps of Engineers and a bunch of other divisions, not only within the federal government, but within state government as well, on special assignment to FEMA in the management positions of these particular events. That's why it is a big bureaucratic quagmire. And that's why you have people rolling in and rolling out on 60-day billets, because that's as long as they can take, or even shorter, as they can take off from work to go to work for FEMA to be very proactive in that response. So he's right in saying that it's a disappointment and it costs a tremendous amount of money, the bureaucracy, and it tends to be very slow, because you'll never open a file and close a file with the same person in FEMA. It's never happened for me. In all the years that I served in the sheriff's office and dealt with FEMA, never happened. And I remember having conversations with my finance people who are completely and totally frustrated that every week there was somebody new and they had to re-educate them as to what it was that we were doing and why and this and that and everything else. Couldn't get clear guidance, couldn't get a clear understanding of what it is that they wanted from us. And, you know, we stayed on top of it, and it would just never go away. Ever. And they always seemed to ask for something that they had already had received, and it was on and on and on. You know, and I think in the aftermath of Katrina and Rita, maybe 10, 12 years later, we closed out the last file that we had with them. I used to know all the nomenclature. I've forgotten it now. But, you know, we closed it out. And actually, one time, I think we had a little mini party in the finance department because it was like this had been a thorn in our side for such a long period of time. And for so many different quarters, we were promised that we were going to be able to close this file out and it'd be done with already. And some cases, consequential amounts of numbers. In other cases, inconsequential amount of numbers. But the reality was we just were tired of dealing with them and all the paperwork and going through the process. It shows up in your audit. You know, you don't want to get written up. You want to stay on top of it and everything else, and you want to get it resolved. And for whatever reason, you could never do so. But the real reason is that it's really a part-time agency. And I'm not saying that, I'm not making these observations as criticism. There were a lot of well-intentioned people that I interacted with FEMA, truly, throughout the process. And they wanted to do the right things. But a lot of times there was a whole lot of bureaucracy standing in the way of them doing the right thing, which typically was the commonsensical thing. And in a lot of cases, the thing that they wanted to do didn't make any sense at all. Because we were trying to apply a cookie-cutter model to these horrific events, whether a hurricane or mudslides or fires or whatever, where things are different. The way you respond is different. There's different challenges. And it never seemed to reach a healthy equilibrium or balance in trying to work through these processes with state and local government. And then part of the other issue is that FEMA ultimately ends up sitting on top of state GOSEP, the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. And GOSEP is your best friend as it relates to local government, because they seem to be able to communicate a lot easier with FEMA than you can directly with FEMA. So you have to have a robust response out of GOSEP, or otherwise you're not going to get much of anywhere. And I worked through that with different administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike, and if they did not have a robust and have someone there who knew the system with FEMA, things move slowly for the entire state. So there are a lot of reasons for things happening, and I know that FEMA gets the brunt of all of that, and I get it. I don't think it's all well placed in all cases. I think there's a lot of burden, or there's a lot of blame that should be shared by state and locals that don't take the time to educate themselves about a lot of these. But the rules could be simpler, and things need to be streamlined. And I believe that it's something that Donald Trump, and I was very excited about him on Friday making this announcement, to look at it. And quite frankly, I dare say, I think there are a lot of people in FEMA that are excited about it. They're excited about streamlining this organization and making their job easier. The hoops that they have to jump through are absolutely crazy, and I'm sure they don't enjoy jumping through them. And they'd like to see a change, because they'd like to accomplish things. A lot of the folks that I came in contact with really wanted the mission to end, to get through it, to get it over with already. So that's kind of the backdrop of it. You know, and some of the, I mean, there were so many anecdotal stories to tell with each and every event of almost laughable approaches to certain things, because there's not really FEMA training people to work together in teams or this or that. There's some of it. There's USAR, Urban Search and Rescue teams that come in. But these are mostly borrowed employees from other agencies. They have other jobs. They don't just simply work for FEMA. So when they're coming in and the immediate aftermath of it, you know, they're not, that's not what they do well. I mean, and we used to say all the time, really, in the first 5 to 7 days, if you don't control it, it ain't going to happen. And state and locals have to go into that storm with that clear understanding that it takes FEMA 5 to 7 days before you're going to see anything of any meaning coming to you from the federal government. And we took that very seriously. That's why we evacuated within the parish. That's why in the aftermath of Katrina, we recognized that we were no longer going to build district stations on the ground, that if we were going to be subject to flood, that we would build them up. That's why every district station has generator backup. That's why every district station would end up with 5 to 7 day, 5 to 7 DOS, that's days of supplies, that they could support themselves, and they didn't have to rely on a supply chain to supply them with stuff. They had their boats, they had their high water vehicles, they had everything with them. We would split the organization, East Bank versus West Bank, so that they could totally stand up on their own. So in case we did not have the availability of a bridge, and took that into consideration, and we moved our entire inventory into anywhere between 7 to 10 different high-rise garages throughout the parish. In fact, in Katrina, I think we lost either 11 or 13 vehicles, because we knew that we couldn't rely on anyone else. We could only rely on ourselves, and then we could reinstitute our assets as water would go down, or as, you know, they were things would change on the ground, and we would be able to bring them back in to our plan of action. So I hope that in this relook at FEMA, and the reason I'm talking about this is that our elected leaders begin to look within and begin to look at ourselves in the mirror and understand what our frailties are, what our inconsistencies are, what we're not able to do, and take ownership of it. Because FEMA will never, and I don't care how well Donald Trump thinks that he's going to re-engineer FEMA, that FEMA is going to be the answer, because they will not. You have to control your own destiny to the best of your ability. I get it. You don't have the deep pockets. But this can't be all FEMA. This has to be a partnership, and this has to be an understanding of how we're going to go about doing this. And you have to financially set aside the dollars necessary and the equipment necessary to do what you were elected to do by your respective voters in your districts and election districts around the country. Plain and simple. It's easy to find a scapegoat, but everybody bears some responsibility in emergency response. I think it's a good thing, but I don't think it really should stop with just FEMA. It needs to go forward. Let's just look at a most recent example in the way that we responded here with the snow. It was a very deliberate process that they went through, albeit it might have been a little slow for some people, but you know what? We did not have a lot of property damage. We did not have a lot of loss of lives. We did not have a lot of injuries. We got through it in a very deliberate fashion. Most of that, if not all of it, came from state and local government. It didn't come from FEMA. But it's the same thing that has to hold true when you're responding to a hurricane or otherwise. It's the same process. It's the same process. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Welcome back, folks. Coleman, who do we have up? Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, what say you?
Hey, good morning, Sheriff. How you doing on this great day?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Good. Listen, need to give a big shout out. You talk about leaders, elected leaders. Louis Pomez in St. Bernard Parish, our parish president, was out there Wednesday morning with front end loaders scraping Parish Road and then Judge Perez so people could get by safely. A lot of people don't realize how much gas comes out of St. Bernard, their gas stations. All that gas comes out of St. Bernard Parish, which is two refineries. And our parish president was out there with that front-end loaders and got them roads clean. People went to work Thursday with no problems. Our roads were all clean. And that's because, like you said, elected officials. You know?
Absolutely.
This woman Bass. This woman Bass in Los Angeles. You see where they cut her mic off during the conference, the news conference with Trump? She's an idiot. You know, it's crazy how people vote one way and then they move to a place that's better than where they left, and then they want to continually vote the way they voted, Democrat instead of Republican. It's ludicrous. If I was lived in California, I'd vote a lot of them people out of office. I don't know how you feel, Charles.
Well, I say this all the time. We don't take our vote and who we vote for as seriously as I think we should. And if we would just pause and reflect as to how they really impact our lives on so many different fronts, when you think about all of the utilities, right? When you think about your phone service, your cable service, this service, that service, all of these lines and everything else, fiber optics, the whole nine yards, run on parish property. They are offered franchises by the parish and to be able to provide those services to us.
Right.
You want to have folks that are going to be very proactive in monitoring that and making sure that you have that service because you rely on all those services. You know, and then you want to find out if you don't have that service for a week, why you don't have that service, right?
Right.
You want to gain a better understanding of it. We see that with all of our utilities. than the things that government in and of itself controls themselves.
This call will be recorded.
You know, you want to make sure that they're doing all of those things appropriately as well. You don't want to have regret in your life and regret the vote that you make when you're in the time of need and you have things going on with your family and otherwise that are just not working because they're not handling things the way that it ought to be handled. That's a horrible feeling because it's a feeling of being helpless. You can't do anything. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And then when they do like Mayor Karen Bass has done, she simply refuses to answer questions now because there is no legitimate answer to the questions that are being asked. And that when they move to trying to make you feel like you're an idiot for asking the question, that's when you know that you've lost all sense of responsibility that that individual may have or not have relative to that topic, that subject matter. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. We know we've seen this breakdown before with a lot of the events that we've had. But getting back to the topic at hand with FEMA, we all share this responsibility. And the FEMA, there are many portions of the FEMA area of responsibility that are broken. It doesn't mean they're not trying. The whole structure of FEMA and the way that is set up is flawed. And there has to be a different way of handling it so that we are in a much closer contact. I will say this. FEMA improved itself a good amount in the aftermath of Katrina. They took a lot of things to heart. I do believe that they looked at themselves critically and they changed things because in a number of the follow-up storms to Katrina, things were easier, things were better. But that doesn't mean that it can get even more so, be more efficient in the way that they're working with them. But, you just look in this city. And I hate to be critical, but we're still spending Katrina money here right now. Something's fundamentally wrong with that, right? You've heard me talk about, it's one thing to go out there, get your fair share, get this, get that, but you have to have the ability to receive. And what that means is that you have to have the ability to execute on those dollars that are given to you. There's a sense of responsibility that you have when people give you money that you are actually going to deliver upon. Got a lot of texts about my comments with FEMA, a lot of former officials that have weighed in saying that they agree that there needs to be a rework. And some agree with what I was saying about, we all have a shared responsibility here as well, and we have to recognize that too. And a lot of the failures that we've experienced here, we probably have come in contact with FEMA in the Gulf States area, probably more so than any other state, I would imagine to say. And it's certainly to the magnitude. Obviously, this fire may be something that's bigger. I'm not sure where this number ends up. This is, going to be interesting to see where this breaks. And then, of course, it breaks on the text line as it relates to your party, right? Oh, well, he's just attacking the bureaucracy and this and that and everything else. Well, if you add up the sum total of what we're doing within the bureaucracy and for why, it's kind of interesting what you find. Jobs that are created don't really know what they do just by the name of them, the amounts of money that they're being paid, the benefits that they're being paid, and the like. It makes you wonder why we're spending money the way that we're spending money. I wish somebody would do a compilation of all of these crazy things that we're spending money on. Just the other day, government mascots. I don't know if you saw the story. The hundreds of millions of dollars that we're spending on government mascots and marketing those and marketing campaigns for what? It doesn't make any sense. Some of which I served in government for 40 years, and you know, and we always are kind of linked to all these government aid. I'd never heard of these mascots. And the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars that are being spent annually on these campaigns, never heard of them. Didn't know who they were. Was completely and totally shocked by the list and how much money that was spent. And then there are those that agree that there's always going to be strings attached to federal money. And, you know, that's always going to be the case. They have already decided, or Joe Biden did, I don't know if that's going to hold true, that they were going to treat California different than the manner in which they treated North Carolina. Now, why is that? One should start asking these questions. Is it because of the electoral votes that are out there? I don't know. But why did Joe Biden make that decision before he left? You know, there's any number of issues that are we're going to run up against. But the one thing about FEMA, it has to be consistent in the way that they're handling what it is that they're handling. Because the moment that you become consistently inconsistent, you have no credibility. People begin to wonder who you are and what you're really all about. And whether or not this is all politically motivated or not. No, I'm not naive. I recognize that there's always some political motivation in everything, right? I get it. But it's just about our expectations, where we lie with those expectations, and whether or not they're real, and whether or not government is ever going to be in a position to meet the expectations that people have of their leaders. This is not easy work, and I don't mean to minimize it in that way. But as long as we stay deliberate about what we're doing and how we go about doing it, I think more rather than not would be appreciative of what's being provided for by our elected officials. And I did get a text here saying that they just tore down a 3,000 square foot home demolished in Old Metairie, $12,000. $172,000 was, I think, the quoted number as the average cost to tear a home down in Pacific Palisades. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Cornelius Bankston, managing partner, Tech Plug for our NOLA Coalition segment, as well as Todd Bensman, senior national security fellow, Center for Immigration Studies. We'll talk about the tug of war going on between Donald Trump and the president of Colombia. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.